we're right on the heels of the holiday of Thanksgiving. Lord, our gratitude is so high in our hearts, Lord, as we remember all the good things you've done for us. Lord, as if it weren't enough that you redeemed us and forgiven us and set us on a path of life, God, you've given us so many blessings. God, and at the forefront of my mind this morning, God, is all the people that you've surrounded me with, that you've allowed me to connect with, and those people show love to me, God, and I get to show love to them. And church, I just want to encourage you right now, just give thanks to God for the people that are right around you in your life that are so valuable to you. Lord, I pray that you would show us ways to let people know. Let those people around us, God, show us ways to let them know that they're valuable to us. Help us to connect throughout this holiday season. Help us to show love to one another as an offering to you, God, in thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you just a minute about our Operation Thanksgiving. I'll show you a couple of pictures here. We had 134 volunteers distribute 280 meals on Thanksgiving Day. Isn't that amazing? There's a few pictures here of the guy. We turned our foyer out there into a food distribution convoy, man. I'm telling you, these guys were working hard. Thank you to everyone who came together to give. I'm telling you, this would not be possible without so many of you guys giving of your time, energy, and resource, and then the rest of us supporting in prayer. You have no idea how much it meant to the people when we handed them a hot meal in the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's what a blessing. And I want to say a special prayer right now over the people who received these meals, because when they got a meal, they not only got a meal, they got an opportunity to be prayed for, and many of them accepted that opportunity, and then they got an invitation to come to our church. And I want to pray specifically that those who received a meal would not have only received a meal, but they would receive Christ, and that they would connect with us and we could become family with them. Would you agree with me in prayer over that? God, for every meal that was distributed, every prayer that was prayed, and every card that was handed out, I pray right now that your kingdom come to those homes, to those households, to those families, and that Jesus Christ, you and your mission of love and grace would be extended to them. And I'm asking, God, that you would allow those people who received meals to come and be a part of our extended family here at the church. And everybody who agreed said, amen. I'm so glad to be here on December the 1st. We've got a special treat for you. You guys help me welcome all the way from Amarillo, Texas, Curtis Howe. Now, in just a minute, Curtis is always going to bring a word to us. I've known Curtis for right at 10 years. And I want to tell you a true story. When we used to have our offices downtown at the Broadway building, that little office complex, and we had a little conference room in there, and there was lots of talking about Curtis. Would he come and help us plant a church, and would he be a part of Harvest? You kind of get lost in all of the details when you're trying to make those kind of decisions. Of course, Curtis and Allison were praying, and we were praying and seeking God. And we had a pastor's meeting that one day, and I'll never forget this. Curtis walked in the door, and God spoke to me and said this: this is a holy man. And it really impacted me. And for 10 years, I've watched that be true. This man is set apart for the kingdom of God. He lives his life in such a way that it advances the kingdom of God. And he would be the first to tell you, not everything's perfect in his life, but he always winds up in the right position, solid on the rock of Jesus Christ, and praising him and thanking him and extending his heart and his hands to other people around him. in second service, his whole family is going to be here with us. That's going to be Allison and Wade, Bethany, Emma, and Hadley, and they'll all be here. And I'm so, there they are right there. Look how beautiful they are, man. Curtis, I don't know how you wound up with such a beautiful wife and kids. But God is good. Hey, Curtis is a great friend of mine. If you don't know him, I wish you got to know him personally. When he walked in this morning, he was overwhelmed with all the love and extended hands and hugs because we've been together for so long. And so right at 10 years ago, we started what was in a campus in Amarillo. Now they're their own church, and they're expanding and growing, and God is blessing them, and they've been given some land, and they're going to be building here soon. So you guys be in prayer for them. Amen? Amen. God is doing great things through Brother Curtis and the church in Amarillo. So I just want to release him. I've already prayed twice since I got up here. So God hears our prayers. Help him out. Jesus, go get
Amen.
Us, brother.
Thank you, bro. Oh, Plainview, Texas. It's so good to be with you this morning. I tell you, I was so excited. A few months ago, Brad called and said, hey, man, could you be here December 1st and come and preach? And I was like, I would love to. I would just love to be there. And so today, it's actually happening. It's funny because as I'm talking up here, I'm noticing myself on the side screens. I've never had this happen before. It's like, that's pretty cool. Okay, I'm easily distracted. So y'all pray for me. As a matter of fact, I'm hitting my start button now, and we're good to go. Yeah, I want to thank Brad and Gabe, Kirby, all the rest of the staff. Everyone's been so gracious. Everyone always embraces me and my family in such a way. Julie, the Snellgroves, they're just special people, and I hope you appreciate the pastors that you have been given, because they are definitely gifts from the Lord. And I'm so grateful to know them and to learn from them as well. Let's give them a hand this morning. You know, growing up in this area, I grew up northeast of Tulia on a farm. Some of you know that. And I'm not far from my hometown. And they say a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, right? And so I'm kind of close to home. I'm just saying. But I feel so special. I was preaching and teaching in Crest one day. A lady came up to me afterwards and she goes, you know, you probably would have made a good preacher if you wouldn't have been such a bad boy. And so if you know that part of my history, just forgive me now, all right? A prophet, though, a true prophet that comes is not a prophet at all if he doesn't have the word of the Lord. And so today we're going to talk about the importance of having Christ and his word as our foundation. It's so important, church. You know, it's one of the first questions I asked Pastor Paul, what is your number one value at Harvest Christian Fellowship? And he said, it's the word of God. That's so important. If the answer would have been anything other than the word of God, I wouldn't be here today. Because I've seen and experienced in my own life that if we don't have the word of God appropriate in our lives, not just hearing, but doing, active in the word of God itself, then in actuality, we have no hope. Because Jesus is the word made flesh. We just sung about it a while ago. We're about to celebrate the Christmas season. The word of God in the flesh among us. What a blessing it is. I grew up singing this song, an old, old hymn. Some of you will remember it. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. See, the church is one foundation, Jesus Christ, her Lord. And you'll see we are washed through the water and the word. We all want homes of peace. Let me ask you this morning, do you have one? We want homes of significance. We want homes of honor. But there are particular ways that God intends for this to happen. There are ways that will truly command his blessing in your life. And today I hope to unpack that for you. Now, if you're tranquil and copacetic this morning, two big words. I have a tendency in our church there in Amarillo that sometimes I'm a little tranquil and copacetic, I guess, when I speak, because they tend to fall out. You know, they tend to get lazy on me. Don't get lazy. Today we're about to help remind us all how to unlock God's provision in our lives. So stay with me. I'm about to do some reading out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice So not just hearers only, but puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew. It was a terrible hurricane. I just added that. Stay with me. The winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Here, Jesus is speaking about building a house, and this is how important the foundation is. Now, I want you to see these two men had three things in common. They both built a house. They both heard the word of the Lord. They would both go through the storm. So these two men had these three things in common, but one thing made them different. One was wise and the other was foolish. And this tells us that not only can a wise man hear Jesus, but so can a fool. These two men wanted the same thing, but they were very different about how they would go about life to obtain those things. You see, wisdom goes far beyond education, church. Wisdom is the ability not only to hear, but to put into practice the truth of what we hear. That's wisdom. Sometimes it's not quick. It must develop or be developed. You know, learning usually takes some time. My daughter, my oldest daughter, Bethany, she's been taking sign language classes for some time now, for a couple of years, and now she can express herself in a different language, a language that I don't understand. But what did she have to do? She had to learn. It took some time. This is the difference between building upon a rock and building in the sand. You can't Google what I'm about to teach. Just listen to me, church. We live in an instant culture. Something that we want, we can find it today. Just look up Amazon and order it. And now we have free delivery, and it can be 2 or 3 days shipping at the longest. But you can't do this with the Word of God. The Word of God's got to be implanted, and we've got to hear it. We've got to listen to what Jesus is saying and how we can apply those things in our lives. You see, hammering into a rock for a foundation is going to take a while. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be labor intensive. One was wise, the other was foolish because of what? Because of where they started. It's amazing to me how many Google theologians we have today. Setting up appointments, spending 1 hour, 2 hours of my time telling me what they learned on Google. We have to be careful with that type of theology. Open His Word and begin to allow Him to lay a foundation in your life. There's no substitute. There are many things that offer it as a substitute, but even the Antichrist, anti, means that he is a substitute for Christ. And the world is offering all these other ways, but there is nothing that replaces the Word of God. It is forever true. You see, one was wise, the other was foolish because of where they started. One must bust the rock, break it down to the point of level, which means to chisel down to the very margins of the foundation. Every corner, every square inch is similar to our lives. The sand is so much quicker. It's so much easier. The foundation that Jesus is speaking of here is the foundation of His Word. In order to move from a house to a home, we must have a solid foundation. And our church, that foundation for us at Harvest Christian Fellowship, is for us to understand we've got to be built upon the Word of God. And not just hearers, but those that would apply as well. In Matthew chapter 10, it's interesting, Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." In other words, guess what? There are going to be people in your own household that don't want to hear the Word of God. There are going to be those that don't want to hear what Jesus has to say about it. A lot of you aren't preacher's kids, are you? You know, my kids, when they mess up, well, you know what God said. You know what Jesus said. And sometimes, right, just because of our sin nature, we just don't want to hear it. We kind of know it already, but we just don't want to hear it, much less act upon it. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is very active. It's a sword as well, right? It cuts to the very marrow of us. So that means it contains power. There is power in the word of God. We live in a culture today that doesn't want to hear that there is an absolute truth. But church, we are the host of the absolute truth. If not us, then who? The treasure that we have, we must protect. Let's be honest, when people want their own situations addressed today, they don't start with the Word of God. We don't preach or teach that the Word of God is supposed to be the foundation for our lives, for our families, for our churches, and for our nation. We live in a day and time, right, where the Word of God is no longer the foundation. When people want their situations addressed, they don't start with the Word of God. They start with psychologists, with their own knowledge, their own books, their own Google account. Sounds like I'm after Google today. Maybe. But with these two men, biblical information was not the issue. Don't you see that? They both had access. Biblical information was not the issue. They both had the information and education. Jesus had just spoken the best sermon ever. This is kind of wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. Right? And so they both had information. He's trying to show, look, information's out there. The church should be home to the Word of God in such a way it's not just information, it's information that is lived out because it's His truth. And when we don't, we are no longer houses of God, but houses of fools. Many churches start with theologians, psychiatrists, doctors, lawyers. Many are attempting to build or rebuild on a different foundation. Our population is confused, and sometimes it's not even their fault. When we as the church refuse to preach the Word of God as the absolute truth, we put others at risk. We put souls at risk. It's so important. You know, the foundation of Scripture has a lot to say about things that our culture has no idea what to say or how to address these situations. Gender identification. Listen, church, there's only two. I understand Facebook now has 40, 50, 60 genders. If you're applying for a government job, it can have up to 7 genders or more. But church, where are we speaking up? There's only 2. He made them both male and female. That's it. Sexual orientation. Well, I believe this. Maybe you're predispositioned in some ways in sin, where we come out of an Adamic lineage, right? And so sin is a lust that sometimes we want fulfilled. But when we talk about sexual orientation and identifying as whatever, for whomever, for whatever, it's dangerous. There's only 2, and He made them male and female, one for another. Now, if your predisposition, let's just say that your sexual temptation is for the same sex, it's just sin. Just call it what it is. Church, it's not hard. And look, it's not even condemning, it's loving. I can put it this way. If you're married and you lust women, it's sin. If we are not married and lust the opposite sex, it's dangerous. It's sin. I'm not after anyone here. I'm simply trying to say, look, there is hope, and the church has to host it in the Word of God. Racism, different color, but only one race, and that's the human race. God is for every tongue, tribe, and nation. That's what His Word says. You know, I recently had a lady that called, and she did it right. I'm going to tell you, she I respect her. I love what she did. She called. She set up an appointment to meet with me. And as we sat down to meet, she said, Curtis, here's the thing. I have known homosexuals and who are in relationships for over 30 years. And this woman is well into her 60s. And she said they've had better marriages or relationships than some of the heterosexual ones that I know that are no longer married. And she said, I think you need to pay attention to your preaching. And I said, okay, all right, well, help me understand. You take as much time as you need to unpack your truth to me. And so she went on to say, you know, statistics show that they can love one another just as strongly as heterosexuals and all these other things. And I listened. I listened to her and gave her time. And when she was done, I said, let me tell you why I preach the Bible. Because if I preached out of my feelings and my thoughts, what you said just made sense. If I were just gonna have my feelings involved. But here's what I know. When the church begins to condone sin, then we nullify the blood of Christ. And we take hope away from the world. Now listen, church, this is really, really good here, because the hope for the world is Jesus Christ and his word applied. We all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And praise God that we come in through the blood, and we are looking for him to chisel out our foundation in his word so that we too can have a testimony of being an overcomer. And when you take that away, when the church begins to condone sin, we take away the hope for the world, and souls will be lost. I believe this. Everyone knows at some point in their life they have to be redeemed. I just believe there's an innate God. And the reason I believe this is because what the word of God says, it simply says that none would perish. That his goal, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is for every tongue, tribe, and nation. And so he provided a way, but he said narrow is that way. Small is that gate. And we have to pay attention to that, church, because if we begin in the church to condone practices outside of the word of God, then we take hope away from the world. You want statistics? And I after this woman finished, I said, let me give you some statistics. Look these up. Homosexual suicide rates are going up almost to 20%. Transgenderism is now over 40%. It's showing about 43% commit suicide. You know why? Where's the hope when the church no longer holds it? Somewhere in them, they know we need something. And now the church is saying it's okay, and we know that it's not. Where do I go to be redeemed? Who has the answer? Race. Now let me talk about race for a minute, because racism, they tell me, is at an all-time high. If I define myself as a white Christian, I'm already wrong. Because the adjective is descriptive of the noun. This means what describes my Christianity is the fact that I'm white, and that is wrong. I should never start with the color of my skin. I should begin with my foundation, not my history. Not my genetic history, because of my foundation, my history has a different lineage. I had to be born again regardless of the color of my skin. I didn't choose this, and you didn't choose yours. But here's the truth. We have the same Father if we're born again, and we're in the same family. Let me get to your attention. Let's talk about politics, because why not? Well, it's so. If Christians think that God rides the backs of elephants and donkeys, they're wrong. God doesn't skip the church house for the White House. We are called to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. And I do believe that God blesses nations that bless and uphold his holy name. That's what we see in the Old Testament. With Israel, the importance of walking with God. In April, this past April, the Washington Post stated over 90 American Muslims, nearly all of them Democrats, are running for public office this year. Now, church, listen, I don't hate Muslims. As a matter of fact, I've gone over to North Africa and preached and taught the gospel over there in countries that are closed to Christianity. 99.9% Muslim, because I love them. God loves them. But listen, This is so important. I'm simply saying, some may choose to believe or interpret that this is hate speech. It's not. I'm simply saying they have a different foundation. Ilhan Omar, who is already seeking to change the law that bans headwear in the House. Now, this is interesting to me because if her foundation ever becomes the foundation for America, she will no longer be a congresswoman because women have no rights in her religion. Now, it's non-believers. There's no foundation. Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Nazism all have different foundations. Evangelical indolence. That just simply means those who are evangelicals, hearers only, not doers of the word. It's trouble. Socialism, hot topic in politics today. As a matter of fact, there have been books written that Jesus was a socialist because he's for all. He's for equality and all kinds of things. Look, none of our lives are equal. You can be white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Our lives are not equal race to race, but within the races, they're not equal. Some of you make far more money than I do. It's not fair. But socialism will not right it. It won't right that wrong. Look, Jesus was not and will never be a socialist. Read his words. In the parable of the talents, he took from the one who only was given one because he chose to bury it and talk about how he was a victim. He took it from him and he gave it to the one who already had five. Look, so what do we do with all this? Joshua 1:9, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Starts right there in your house. And listen, in God's house, Plainview, it's one of the things that I love about coming here is you are taught this and it shows throughout your congregation. Every tongue, tribe, and nation is blessed because your foundation is upon the word. And sometimes we just need to be reminded, keep it there. If your household is not serving the Lord, or maybe you wonder, then check your foundation. Are there cracks? Are you vulnerable? Is your home fortified with the word of God as your foundation? Are you ready for a storm? Because both of these endured a storm. Do you believe there is no issue you can raise that God's word does not have an answer in precept or in principle? When you understand the power of God's word, you don't have to switch books. You just won't have to do it. The other thing I would say is this: don't mix rock and sand. A lot of churches today, guys, I came out of a denominational church as a pastor and preacher, and I love that church very much, but it's difficult for me today to see how they attempt to mix rock and sand, and there is no longer fruit. You can't mix rock and sand. You know, my daughter Bethany, my oldest daughter that I spoke of earlier, she was in a musical last year, Mary Poppins. I've never watched Mary Poppins all the way through until my daughter was in it. And afterwards, I'm singing all the songs, and my kids are like, "What's wrong with you?" But one of the songs was this: "Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down." Y'all know it? Just a spoonful of sugar. Now look, just a spoonful of sugar makes or helps the medicine go down, but sugar is an inflammatory, and most sickness deals with inflammation. So I love fondue. I remember the first time I saw it. I didn't know what it was, but I wanted it. You take a strawberry and you put it under a fountain of chocolate and it goes down so good. It's great, but the chocolate cancels the nutritional benefit of the strawberry. And this is how many of us deal with the word of God. We take it from its purity and try to dip it into something that makes it go down a little easier. Careful, the world does that. There is a danger in mixing both. It confuses the house. It will confuse the house if you live in, as well as the house of God, as well as a nation. As Joshua said, begin in your own home. What does his word say about raising children? What does it say about parenting? What does it say about marriage? It is true. The third and final thing I have for you this morning, church, is this. A storm is coming. It was hitting both. Regardless of where they built, a storm was going to hit both. The old saying is right. You're either just coming out of a storm, or you're in the midst of a storm, or a storm is coming. They say you can tell how high a skyscraper is by looking at the depth of its foundation. Our foundation must be deep and continue to get deeper. Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. A deep, deep embedded foundation. Every time you read the word, you establish a great foundation for you and your household. Every time you make a decision to follow the word of God. Every time husbands love your wives. Every time wives are respectful of their husbands. Every time we pray for our enemies. Every time we give love and do not judge. When we apply, we deepen our foundation for the storm. Some of you this morning are saying, well, you don't know my life. I've got major, major storms in my life. I think back, growing up out on the farm. We had an old house next to our house, and it was so cool. I would go out and play in that old house, and we had little rooms set up in there to play in and to go through. I even had a basketball goal hung up in there. It didn't matter. It didn't have windows. You know, you just try to tear it down. You couldn't. It had a good foundation. But right next to it had a cellar, an old cellar. And one day, this huge storm was coming, and tornadoes had hit Tulia already. And I was just a little kid, and my dad kept going outside, and I would walk out there with him, and you'd see these tornadoes getting ready to come down. And Dad said, we've got to go out there to the old house and get in that cellar. And we went down or started heading that way, and Mom said, wait, everybody run back and grab the Bible next to your bed. She had placed a Bible next to my bed all the days of my life, to prepare me for the storms that I would go through in my life. So we all ran back, grabbed our Bibles, and we ran out there and got in the cellar, and fortunately the tornado didn't hit us, but I remember sitting down there and Mom leading us in a prayer as I held my Bible. Look, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus and the disciples headed across the sea. A storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep. And for many of you, your house has been rocked by a tremendous storm this morning. The roof has blown off, and it seems like the siding is lost. You feel as though Jesus has fallen asleep in your storm. You pray, you scream, you cry. Is Jesus still sleeping? You know, the disciples run to Jesus. They wake him up and they say, hey, we're going to die. And Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, but somewhat rebukes the disciples, and he asks them this question, where is your faith? And they don't have an answer for him, but instead they say, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves, they obey him? To understand the meaning of this is to look at the very first of this story in Luke 8:22. Now, one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. You see, whether through wind or waves, Jesus said, we're going to the other side. That's the spoken word. He had already said it so he could sleep in the boat, because that's what's going to happen. Look, whether through wind or waves, wherever you are in your life, Jesus has spoken. And he continues to speak in his word. Regardless of the storm, his promise to make it to the other side is true. He is either a God of his word or not a God at all. A house, a church built with a firm foundation is a house that will withstand the storm. I'm going to ask if you would to please stand yourselves. And I'm going to ask the altar team to make their way forward this morning. Some of us are simply tired today. You've been chiseling rock and you've been laying a foundation for a long time. Life has definitely had and given you its storms. And this is why we are here. See, in that same story, The disciples didn't jump out of the boat. They didn't try to swim to the side by themselves. They were in the boat, and you are in the house of God, and we're here for you to encourage you through your storm, to remind you that Jesus really isn't asleep. He rests in his promises, and we should too. Some of you may feel like you're having a hard time hearing Jesus. You wonder, Lord, do you even hear me when I cry out to you? Some have mixed rock and sand, and some are frustrated with watered down results. Let me just say, God's word is true. It's just as true for you as it is for me. Watch, just as it was for Jesus. When Jesus said it, it's true. He could sleep. Where is your foundation this morning? Who is your foundation this morning? Father God, I just pray that, Lord, you will lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning to receive prayer, because as we do that, we chisel out places in our lives for you once again to reign, to make it whole, to make it firm, to remind us that your word is true. It is the firm foundation. And Father, may we be a church that rises up and offers hope to a world that desperately needs it, not by condoning sin, but a church that upholds your word and shows hope for everyone to overcome sin by the power of your blood. We love you, Lord, and thank you for Harvest Christian Fellowship, Plainview, Texas, and the foundation that is laid in me. Thank you for your church, for your bride. May we present it back to you without spot or wrinkle. In Jesus' name, amen.